Good morning.
They'll just turn it off.
Okay, all right.
Now, the name of that town is Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Not California either. It's a little higher than Santa Barbara, California. Well, good morning, and it's great to be here again. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh,
you can do better than that. I mean, you're the children of God.
Can you hear that, honey?
He's responding.
Yeah.
He's responding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah, we're just happy the Lord called us to be on the mission field. And we're happy the Lord's calling what He's telling us to do now and continuing to do. No, we have a job to do.
Amen.
We have a job to do.
Amen.
It's not time to get tired. It's not time to give up. It's not time to lay down. It's not time to just say, oh, you know, what's going to happen is what's going to happen. No way. We have a job to do. Hallelujah. Jesus has called every one of us. He's got a job for all of us. We're all called to do something in the kingdom of God. And to get out there and tell people about Jesus and make disciples out of them. Hallelujah. There's people all over around this town that need to hear from you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say that a little louder. Amen.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to get out there, man, because you know what? Jesus is going to come soon. And He wants to take a bunch home with Him. And you got to have a bunch to go with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, there's times when you're not excited, and there's other times when you're excited, but you got to stir up the gift that's in you. You got to stir up the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. You've got to stir up the fire that God has put inside of you. If it gets down there, you got to stir it up. And this is a time to stir it up. It's a time to stir it up. When everything else is against you, you need some fire. Hallelujah. You've got to push back. You've got to resist. You've got to come against the darkness. You've got to come against the lies and the deception and the deceit and all the things that are going to try to push you down and push down what the Lord is trying to do.
Right.
You've got to push back. You can't just stand around and do nothing. You've got to push back.
Amen.
And the only way you can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to have the power and the fire burning in you. To push back and to resist, because things are going to try to put your fire out. Things are going to try to push you down. Things are trying to say, oh, what's the use?
Yep.
Jesus was only one. So don't tell me what's the use. Jesus came, and yes, He was God, but He lived as a man. And He took 12 men and made disciples out of them. And those 12 disciples, in a few days, There was more than 12 at the beginning when the Holy Spirit came. There was 120 in that room. But there was 12 leaders. Actually, it was 11, and they added the other one back. But you have to understand that the church has not stopped running.
Right.
God didn't stop His vision just because something happened. You know, He didn't stop just because an election took place. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, the church is called to do what the church is supposed to do, and it's supposed to be doing it. And Paul told Timothy, preach in season and out of season. Preach the word in season and out of season. In season means good times. If you go back and study it out, in season means good times. Out of season means bad times. I got a chorus behind me today, boy. I tell you what, I got some backup going here. Hallelujah. You know, out of season means bad times. And so just because things don't happen the way you want or think they ought to happen or things, maybe people make mistakes. Maybe we've made mistakes. But that doesn't mean you quit serving the Lord. You go forward and you keep doing what God has called you to do. And if you get a little weak and you get a little tired and you get refired, hallelujah, and you get strengthened by the Holy Spirit because your strength is in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You got to step in there with the Lord and just start meditating on what God has for you and how exciting God was. You know, you got to think back to the early 1980s. Hallelujah! And when God came in and you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, And the fire of God was blowing. He just wanted to study the Word of God, and you wanted to get going with God and do whatever God wanted you to do. Are you turned on yet this morning? Hallelujah. It's time. Hallelujah. It's time to get turned on. Hallelujah. Because things ain't going to change unless you change them. Things don't change just because you sit around and do nothing. Man, you're kind of quiet this morning. You must be really listening good. Hallelujah. You know, you've got, if anything's going to happen, it's you that's going to make it happen. Jesus said the church is the salt and the light, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. There ain't no other salt and there ain't no other light. You're it. You're it. And so if you're sitting around waiting for something to happen, it ain't going to happen. Hello? Nothing good anyway. Good happens where God is. Good happens where God manifests. Good happens where God moves. And God moves through the church. You say, well, God can move on his own. God decided way back when he sent Jesus and sent the Holy Spirit that he was going to move through the church. Good morning. Raise your hand. Say, I'm the church. And the Holy Spirit lives in me. And if anything good is going to happen, it's because I'm doing something. I'm allowing God to move through me. Hallelujah. The world ain't going to change anything. They don't have the power. You getting scared up here? She'll get back up. I'll tell you what, she's a preacher too.
I just didn't expect the priest to get out so soon.
Let's open the book of the Bible and let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Tell you what, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been filled and you may pray in tongues, but you need to get refilled with the Holy Ghost. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues and running to go with God, then you need to get it. It's the only thing that works. And sitting around don't work. Now, there's times to sit and there's times to be patient, but this ain't one of them. It's time to get out there and move with the Holy Spirit and move with God. The world is waiting for you. Jesus gave us a great commission. The great commission is to preach the gospel to all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Didn't say the ones that we just, you know, favored. The ones we thought we ought to go to. The Bible says all nations. There's a whole group of nations that most of the people in those nations ain't heard nothing about gospel yet. They know about Jesus, the prophet. They know about Jesus, the good man. They know Jesus, a teacher, but not Jesus, the Son of God. Not God manifest in the flesh. Not the Savior of the world. They believe in a Jesus that was, and we're talking about the Muslim world. We're talking about the Middle East. We're talking about nations that they believe in a Jesus, but not the Jesus that is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that can come into their lives, and they don't have to be a legalist. They don't have to live by law. They can know the presence of God. They can have a relationship with God personally. They can have God inside of them. They can be forgiven. They can have grace. They can have the load off of them. They don't have to be mean and ugly like a Pharisee. Hello? Now, if you're like that, you need to get saved too. Or at least you need to find out what you got saved for. You didn't get saved to live by a law and make everybody live by what you think. You don't need to be a Pharisee. Well, let's read here in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Therefore, when they had come together, we're all together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now we know there's times and we know there's seasons. And we sense them. Just like when fall comes. Now I walked around the other side of the car yesterday morning. Oh, man, it's trapping season. And we used to trap, you know, around out in the countryside. And you smell those leaves and the dry leaves, and it's about that time. You just associate things with certain things. And it's the same thing in the spiritual. And we'll be reading here. But, you know, you've got to learn that certain things that you recognize, you have to recognize in your heart what time it is, what season it is, what God wants to do. Just because things are hard, you know, you smell that and it's football season. Oh, man, we're out there playing football. But, you know, you think about that. Oh, I remember those hot days in August, two-a-day practices. Hard. I mean hard. Hot. Pushing you to the limit. So tired you drag yourself into the locker room. Yeah, and some of you guys, you know, you always left your uniforms, your practice uniforms in the locker, and you never washed them for like 3 weeks. Remember that? You could stand them up in the corner. I remember bringing all this stuff home for my mom to wash. Whoo! But there are times and seasons, and you recognize those things by certain signs or certain smells or certain things that you know. And you have to learn the spiritual realm the same way. There are certain things you need to learn so you recognize where you're at and what you're supposed to be doing. And so Jesus said there's times and seasons, but God has put those in us. And you should, when God speaks, when God starts moving in time, you should recognize it. You don't establish it. God establishes it. But you move into the time with God, and you do what God has planned for you as a church or as an individual. We're all the church. And then there's the local church, and then there's the whole body of Christ. And then it says, but you shall receive power. And here's the point Jesus is making. It doesn't matter what time or season it is. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. It doesn't matter what time or season it is. Paul said, Timothy, you know, preach the word in season and out of season. It doesn't matter. You're supposed to be doing the same thing all the time, but there are times and seasons. There's different things you're supposed to be doing at different times, but there's one thing you always do. You never leave the word. You always speak the word. You always tell people the truth. The truth never goes out of fashion. The truth is always in season. And as the seasons change, they get hard or they get easy. People are receptive or not receptive. Things open or things close. Jesus said, whatever I open, it's open. Whatever I close, it's closed. But see, we have to learn to recognize those things in our heart, in our spirit, and sense those things, and then move with the Holy Spirit. And you know, just because it's hard doesn't mean you're not supposed to be moving. Just because things don't look like they're easy doesn't mean you're not supposed to go out there and just beat the door down, hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to go out there and push your way through. Amen. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be things that are, you know, the devil doesn't want the gospel to be known around the world. The devil doesn't want you preaching the gospel to anybody. He doesn't want you speaking any of the truth to anybody. He'd rather just be quiet and just be nice. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, someday it'll change. It ain't going to change unless somebody changes it. God uses vessels, human vessels, you and I, to change things. We're not the world. We're the church. There's a difference. And it says here, you know, the times and seasons are not for us, but for God. But when he establishes that time and he moves into a time, we're supposed to move with him. And we're supposed to get in on it. And maybe we don't like it, but that doesn't mean that. You didn't like eating your vegetables either. I didn't like practicing football two times a day, but I wanted to play. I wanted to play in the game. I wanted the glory. I wanted to make the touchdown. You know, I wanted to win. Amen. But if you're going to do it, you got to go through the practice too. You got to get in shape. Otherwise, the first game, man, you're sitting out there, you know, with everything twisted and turned, and you just don't know where you're going. You're a hurting unit because you're just not ready to get hit around, beat up. Amen. And it's the same way when you're called into the body of Christ. You're a child of God. You're going to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But you're also called to preach the gospel to all nations. You're called by God to do something in this earth, in this time, now. Not just to work, buy a car, have fun, move around, do what everybody else does. Live your whole life, die, go on down the road with everybody else. You'll probably go to heaven because you got saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, you got a job to do right now. God has something for you to do because he wants other people to know about the truth. He doesn't want people in lies and deception. He doesn't want people believing things that aren't true. He doesn't want people's lives all bound up. He doesn't want them enslaved. God hates slavery. That's why he gave you a free will. You ever notice that God doesn't make you do what he wants you to do? He teaches you. He tells you. He trains you. He gives you parents to help you know the truth. But you know, when you get old enough to make your own decision, even your parents can't change you. You ever notice that? That's why everybody says, oh, wait until I get to 16. I'm getting out of here. I can still hear my son. When I'm 16, I'm doing what I want. Not as long as you're living in this house, you're not. Well, when I'm 18, I'm gone. And I can do what I want. I said, praise the Lord. Go ahead and go do it. He went and he did it. He was only 17 when he did that. About 3 months down the road, he called back. Dad, I was kind of proud. But God has things for us to do, and we need to learn to do them. And sometimes it's not easy, and this is not an easy time to live in. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing impossible. With God, there's nothing impossible. You can change people. You know, the world can go its own way, but the church can do the whole different thing. You can live in the abundance of God and in the blessing of God, and the world is just going to hell. And that's where they're going anyway. That's their direction. Unless we pull people out of there, that's where they're going. They don't know any better. How can they think that way? They don't know God. How can they do that? They don't know God. What is that stupidity they're doing? How many times have I said that lately? But you got to come back and think, hey, man, you know, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the truth. They live in deception all the time. So what do you expect them to do? That's just what's in them. That's what they believe. That's what they are. Unless you tell them the truth and they receive the truth. Our job is to tell the truth. It's not to ram it down their throat. It's not to force them to take it. And our job is to manifest the truth. Our job is to testify to the truth. A witness in a courtroom doesn't force anybody to believe anything. They tell what they know. The jury decides what they're going to believe. Isn't that true? They put the jury up there and they listen to the testimony of all the people, and then the jury decides what they believe is the truth. Isn't that true? You're a witness for God in this world. And out there, the world acts kind of like a jury. You're the witness. You tell what you know of the truth about Jesus Christ and what he did in your life and how good he is. They make the decision what they're going to believe. So you just do your job. You just live your life like Jesus told you to live it. You speak like Jesus told you to speak. Because that's what you believe. And as you do that, the world will either keep going their way or some of them will just jump out into the boat with you. And that's what we're after. And that's why you have the power of the Holy Spirit. When you receive power, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost all the time. You got to be praying and spending time with God and obeying the still small voice of God and obeying the little things that God gives you. That's how you stay filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the big things. It's the little things. It's the everyday thing. When the big thing comes, you're ready because you've been doing all the little things. You've been obedient to God. You walk every day. And then God gives you something bigger and you say, okay, I'm ready for that now. I don't feel like I'm ready, but God says I'm ready, so I'm doing it. A lot of times you don't feel like you're ready to do something God told you to do. You say, I can't do that. No, but when God asks you to do something, he knows. Let's go over here for another scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 32. God wants you to go out of here today looking toward getting fired up. Stirring up the fire of Christian faith. And living that faith no matter what happens in this world, because you are the only thing that's going to change it. Your faith is what will change the world around you. It's you as a Christian that will make the difference. Why do you think the United States is the way it is? It was founded by Christian people that had faith in God. It continued that way for years and for decades and for centuries. And then people start coming in and with other ideas, and people start getting educated in other ways. It's not that those people had all the information. It's not that they knew everything. There's a lot of things that they didn't know. But one thing they did know, they believed the truth of the Word of God, and you know what? It always made them come out on top. They will. If you don't fight for what you believe in, and I'm not talking physically, I'm talking about with your heart and with your soul and with your thoughts and with your abilities and with your gifts of convincing other people and testifying to other people of what the truth is, if you don't resist, if you don't fight for it, then they will take it away from you. We're not talking about physical men. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual powers. We're fighting against the darkness that is trying to enslave people and eventually enslave us if we allow it to happen. And if you don't stir yourself up in God and stir up the gift that's in you, the Holy Spirit in you, then you're not going to do anything about it. You have to make a decision. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. It's right there, you know, where those pages are stuck together. It's a place where you don't read a lot. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. It's counting that about David's army and how many were in the army and how many people were there backing him up. And it says about this tribe of Issachar, and we could say this about the church. The church should be like the tribe of Issachar. They could discern what time it was. And they knew what they should do. What time is it? Have you asked yourself, what time is it? Jesus said to the Pharisees and the religious people, you can discern the face of the sky. And you can see if it's going to rain or not. But there's one thing you can't do. You don't discern what time it is. Are we in the first group with the tribe of Issachar, or are we in the second group? It says you can decide what group you want to be in. Do you want to know what time it is and what you ought to do? Or do you want to be over in the other group, which, you know, you can see what's going on physically, but you have no idea what time it is. You don't know the time of the visitation. You don't know what God is doing. They didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God visiting, and this was the time of their redemption. And they couldn't even recognize it. And where are we today, and what time are we in? You have to, you know, you can't rely on everybody else for you to know what's going on. You can't rely on everybody else to tell you what to do. You can't, because people don't know what you ought to do many times. They generally might know, but what are you supposed to be doing in your life? What is God asking of you? And the only way you can figure that out is to seek God. When you seek God, God will tell you. There's only one real barrier to that. When you seek God, there's only one real barrier that God can't get through so that you know what you ought to do, and that's fear, worry, anxiety. Well, I don't know what God should do. You know, what if I don't hear Him? If you get that kind of attitude, it's hard to hear God, because the Holy Spirit flows with faith. He don't flow with fear. And so don't get anxious, and don't get worried, and don't get into fear. Just seek God and be peaceful. Just keep seeking God. You know, God's really intelligent. He really does know how to communicate. So, you know, how many got ears here? You know? If God is able to communicate, and if you're just a normal person and seek God and keep your ears open, God has a way of making you know what He wants. And you don't have to be wondering about it. If He doesn't say anything, don't do anything different. I remember back in Bible school, all these Bible school students, you know, and I was probably one of them. What are we going to do? I want to do something for God. And what are we going to do next? And when is it going to happen? And everything, because everybody's, ready to go. You know, you're so full of fire, you just, where's the next place? The thing is, when you're like that, man, you can go all over the place and make a big mess. God can't trust you because you got all the fire, but you just don't know where to aim it. You end up hitting somebody you're not supposed to hit with that thing. Amen. Amen. God wants to get that shotgun down into a rifle. But He'll use you. But see, you got to be patient. That's why he says, submit yourselves to God, and in due time He'll exalt you. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's why He says, the younger, submit yourself to the elder. That's why God said that. Because when you're young, and you're all full of fire, and you want to just go, and let's do it, you're liable just to get one thing, good thing done, and about destroy five other things along the way. And so God says, sit down and learn something. Use the fire, but under direction. Under somebody that kind of knows what they're doing. Hello? I'm talking to older people here mostly. You young people listening? You got some elders in this church that have known God for a long time. You need to get full of fire and then let them help you get that directed and change this city. Hallelujah. They don't have all the, you know, physical strength and go get them anymore, but they got a lot up here and a lot in here, and they can teach you, and you can go out there and do it. Everybody's called to something during a certain time. And just because, you know, you can't go walking 50 miles, you can teach somebody else to do it. You can show them where to go and how to do it and tell them and train them how to do it. This is the way we did. This is what happened. Tell them the stories. Tell them the testimonies of what God did in your life. And let them out and go out there and have their own. But we got to move. It's time to move. We were just looking around here yesterday, and different people, and Katrina was sharing with me this morning, yeah, Mexican people around here and the kids, and she just got talking to them, and nobody's ever invited you. You don't have a church going? No, no. And you never been here before? No, no. And everybody ever never talked about? No, no. There's people out there that nobody's talked to, nobody's contacted, nobody's invited, nobody's done anything. Hello? That's not condemnation. That's exhortation. Get out there. Be led by God. Take the minute to walk across the street. You know, and you just all of a sudden out of the corner of your eye see something, and like the Holy Spirit just like draws you. Go over there. Invite them to church. Well, I don't know Spanish. Yeah, call Horacio. Horacio, yeah. Can you come over for a minute? I need you. Our job is not done. Our job is not done. Your job is not done. As long as you're alive, your job is not done. Yeah, but I've lived 70 years, and I'm just tired, and I'm not going to do anything more. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come and pull me away. You're not done. You're not done. As long as you're on this planet, you're not done. Hello? You don't get to retire spiritually. There ain't no retirement in the kingdom of God. God don't accept any of that stuff. I mean, he'll accept it because that's what you want to do, but that's not what he wants. And so you have to keep getting the fire stirred up, like Pastor Roger said. That's what was here this morning. That's what God's wanting you to do. He wants you to get stirred up. Get back in there and be fired up by the Holy Ghost. Remember the gifts and get, you know, get manifesting the power of God. People need to see the power of God. They don't need to see, you know, we got church program over here for you. Come over. We're good. And there's nothing wrong with church programs, but if you ain't got no power of God in it, you ain't going to change nobody. I'm not talking about necessarily manifestation, you know, like a healing or something. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit and the manifestation of the presence of God in your life, through your life, touching other people, and they know that there's something there, that God is there. It's not just a program. It's a person, and he's in you. And so, you know, you have to recognize the time. There are times that are difficult. Push, resist, fight, push on through. Keep going. Fire yourself up. This is the best time. People are, you know, the best times are when tragedies are happening because people open their hearts. They're looking for something different. They're wondering, what can I do? When we went to El Salvador, we were there. It was nothing to go to the mission military hospital. We went there usually twice a week. And nothing in an afternoon to leave between 8 to 30 people to the Lord in one afternoon. Why? Because their life was a shambles. They were open to something and they needed the truth. And someone came and told them the truth. And I can still remember, like years later, some young man come up to me and says, "Hey, Brother Gary." You know, in Spanish, of course. He says, "Hey, Brother Gary, you remember me?" No. "I was in the military hospital. You came there and you led me to the Lord, and I've been out and I've been working for the Lord ever since." And you know, and I think it was pastoring is what he was doing then. And so, you know, you never know. You've got a call on your life. Right here where you're at. You don't have to go to El Salvador. You don't have to go to Honduras. Maybe God is calling you to that, like Sister Katrina. If God has spoken to you about missions, mission is not over. Missions is not done. Everybody's pulling back. It seems like everybody stopped giving and everybody. You know what? Don't stop giving to missions. Don't stop preaching the gospel. Don't stop pushing and resisting and expanding the kingdom of God. If you have to cut back a little bit on what you drink or what you eat or whatever, then so be it. But don't quit giving the mission. That's your job. That's what you're here for. The reason for you living on this planet as a Christian is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The day that you die physically and go to heaven, your job is finished here. But not until that day. Not until that day. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to end up here. What time do you usually quit? Have I gone over already? We quit when we're done? Whoa, that's dangerous. 2 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 2. Don't get antsy. God loves you. You know, you aren't going to do anything better than this all day anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Remember, we're talking about times and seasons. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all powers or power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Among those who perish. That's the world. The ones that haven't received Christ yet. They're deceived. The church ought not to be deceived. If we're deceived, it's because we haven't been in the truth. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them. And we're talking about the last day. God will send them a strong delusion. In other words, it's not really like actively sending it, but he just kind of like says, okay, you want to believe it? Believe it. You wanted it? You can have it. You want to believe lies, and you want to trust in man, and you want to trust in government, and you want to trust in education, and you want to trust in the doctor, and you want to trust in this and that? Go ahead. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with a good education. Should be Christ-centered, though. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor, but you better be believing in God because there's things the doctor can't do. There's nothing wrong with having a government, but the government has a job. And when the government says, our job is to take care of you, then they're out of order. They're out of order. God's job is to take care of you if you'll let him. If you have faith in God, God is all-powerful and he's all-sufficient. When something else tries to take that and you start putting your faith in that, then that becomes your God. Then you're deceived and you're in deception. The Word of God says, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The lie. What is the lie? That you can trust in something else other than God. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, when you trust in things other than God, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be frustrated. And when you keep trusting in something that can't provide what you, and then you're an idiot. But the thing is this. The delusion is that there's another truth other than the truth. That's what delusion is. There's another truth that isn't the truth. And that's what the devil's been trying to do from day one. Until today. And that's what the Antichrist will do when he comes. And we have Antichrists in the world today. I believe the Antichrist is alive right now. I don't know who he is, but there are Antichrists present in the world right now. Any person that puts forth principles and policies and things contrary to the ways of God and the principles of God is Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. You see, if you don't think about it, if you don't reason it out according to the Word of God, then you just flow along with everybody else and you just go along and you think everything's hunky-dory. And, oh, they're going to give me this. And, oh, they're going to give me that. And, oh, they're going to do this for me. And they're going to, yeah, at what cost? What's it going to cost you? If you don't think about it, you can be deceived and you can be sucked into the delusion and into slavery. And that's what the devil wants to do. The power of darkness is in this world working against what God is working for, and the church is the avenue that God uses to bring light. And you are the light of the world. And if you don't live your life so that the light manifests itself, if you don't be the salt of the earth, no one else is going to do it. I was talking about the United States before. The reason has been the country has been is only because faith in God. And when we lose faith in God, we'll go the way of every other empire, every other country, every other superpower that's ever been on the face of the earth. We'll disappear like anybody else. Because God does not make exceptions to His rules. To please God, you have to have faith. And you have to live by faith in Him and His truth. And seek God, and He will reward you. That's what the Word of God says. So this morning, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the truth that God has placed in your heart. Remember what you've been taught and live by that and trying to get it into other people. Be led by the Holy Spirit, of course. He'll lead you every day. You don't have to do something by force. You don't have to force yourself to live it. If you spend time with God and spend time with His Word and really believe in your heart what the truth is, you'll just go around and it'll just flow out of you. You don't have to do something on purpose when it's just your purpose. If your purpose is to serve God, that's what you'll do. You don't have to just walk around trying to do something on purpose all the time. That's like trying to live the law. People live the law. They're always trying to, you know, what if I make a mistake? And I got to live it this way. And they got to put so much effort into it. And they get exhausted. They get all tense. They get afraid. Then they get judgmental. And then they start beating on other people and all that kind of stuff. Instead of living by grace and by the love of God and God in their life and just a relationship and just flowing along. And your purpose is just to live God in the world. Amen. What time is it for you? Well, we know what the general time it is. What if Jesus is going to come back real soon? What if this is the last time? What if right now this is, what if the Antichrist is coming right now? Is it time to lay down and quit? I'd say it's time you better get up and get as many people in the kingdom of God as possible. Because we're going to get out of here pretty soon. And what if it ain't? Well, then our generation, if we do get through this cycle and Jesus doesn't come, in other words, everything goes in cycles. If you don't know history, it always goes by cycles. If we don't get through this cycle, and it is time for the Antichrist, then we better get the job done. And if it isn't in this cycle, we better get this cycle taken care of because then we won't get to the next one. In other words, you got to open your heart and seek God and allow the revival to take place. You can't make revival, but you sure in the world can open your heart for it. God causes growth, no one else. But if you seek God and obey God, God will bring growth. And He will cause revival. And He will cause things to happen. But you got to allow Him to do it. Don't think up the great plan. Let Him show it to you. Flow with God. I know there's people from different churches here this morning, and I know some of you are constant and consistent here, and some visit or some come now and then. You know what? You just need to push into God more than you ever have. Because no one else is going to make the difference in this thing. Only the church. Yeah, but we're just a little church, and we're in a little town, and we're kind of like, you know, in the back there. And what can we do to change the whole world? A lot! Hello, I came from this town. I went to Honduras, and the teaching that we've done in Honduras has changed the nation of Honduras. They're in a big spiritual battle right now, too. It's political, but it's because of darkness trying to take over. But the people of Honduras have stood up. They know enough about God. They know about the truth. They know enough to say, we don't want this. We don't want no dictator. We don't want no socialism dictator in this country like Chavez in Venezuela. And 80%, more than 80% of the Hondurans say, we don't want him back. We don't want him in here. Forget it. He's not coming. And he came anyway. But he can't do much. Why? Because the people know truth. What about you? What about the people that are around you? What about your nation? Who knows the truth? Who knows this truth? When you know this truth, everything else opens the eyes. And you know what's going on. But if you don't know this, then you don't see what's going on. Darkness is invading. But if you don't take the truth and stand up and push back, then the darkness is going to continue to come. It's not time to lay down. It's time to fight. It's time to preach and teach, and it's time to do missions, and it's time to change the world. That's what time it is. But we only can do that if we stand up and do something we've got given us to do. You don't have to do it all. You only have to do your part. And if we unify and all of us are doing it together, there's nothing can stop the church. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That power of darkness is in here. It's not going to prevail against the church. Jesus said it, and Jesus don't lie. But that requires us to stand up and be obedient to God. And to speak out the truth that we know. I know I'm really preaching this morning. But God has called us and taught us the truth and given us the Holy Spirit for a reason. We're not in heaven yet. We may go tomorrow. We may go next week. You don't have to die of sickness. You don't have to die of disease. And you don't have to die in poverty. Because Jesus paid for all that. But you may die for other reasons. But are you willing to stand up and resist and fight for what you believe in? I'm not talking physically. Are you willing to fight for what you believe in? Are you willing to stand up and stand your ground? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. You've deposited in us all these years for a reason. Lord, I ask you to activate everything that you've placed in these people. Activate their gifts. Activate, Father. Stir up the truth that they've learned. Stir up the things that they've heard years ago. Stir up the things that you just heard last week. Stir up everything. Stir up the fire. Stir up, Father, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Stir up in their lives so that they can't turn around without thinking about you. That your presence is around them. That they feel and sense your presence. That they spiritually they sense that you're walking with them wherever they go, wherever they're at, all the time. That they have a consciousness, Father, that you're right there to back them up in everything they do, whatever they do. Help them, Lord. Help us all to remember that you're right there every minute, every second, every moment to give us the strength and the power to manifest the kingdom of God. In the name, in the precious name of Jesus. The precious name of Jesus. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, if you never received him as your Lord and Savior, if you never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need to be forgiven. I need something. I don't know where I'm going, but I need eternal life. See, that's what Jesus came for, to give you spiritual life, to give you new life, to give you the strength to live the life that you're supposed to live. You can't do that without God, because God didn't create you not to do that. He didn't create you to just live by yourself, to do it on your own. He created you to be connected with God all the time. And that's what Jesus came to do, to connect you with God, put you back where you're supposed to be, walking with God and the power of God in you, and you fulfilling your whole destiny, your whole life. But you can't do that unless God comes into your life. And he made the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the door. If Jesus comes into your life, God comes into your life. Eternal life comes in. He that hath the Son hath life. Jesus, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that by very simply. All you have to do is say, I believe what Jesus did on the cross was for me. I believe he died for my sin to forgive me. I believe that he rose from the dead to give me eternal life and come into my life and show me the truth. And he'll send the Holy Spirit inside of you to open your eyes to truth. The truth. Not just this physical world that we live in, but the thing that created this that we live in. Is there anybody here this morning? You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your personal Lord, your personal God above all things? If you haven't done that, if you'd raise your hand, I'd like to pray with you, and he will come into your life. He will become real to you. He's a person. He's real. You can't see him with your eyes, but he's real. And he comes right in, and I remember when I received him, and I turned my life over to him. Just my whole life changed. It was just totally different. Does anybody hasn't done that and like to do that this morning? If you raise your hand, we're just going to pray. You don't have to do a great thing. You just have Jesus, I believe. Come into my life. And he will. Because he said he would. If you need to do that, no one can do that for you. Your mother can't do it for you. Your father can't do it. Your friend can't do it for you. No one can do it for you. Yeah, but I've gone to the church all my life. It doesn't matter. You can go to church all your life and not know God. You can go to church and you can learn all the stories of the Bible, like I did. Know about David, know about Samson, know about Goliath, know about all the Old Testament heroes. Know all those stories. You can know about Jesus even. You can know about what he did and how good he was. But if you don't know that he died on the cross for you to save you from your sin, from evil, and to come into your life, if you don't know that, and if you don't accept that for you personally, it's not going to happen. No one else can do it for you. Only you. And I'd like to invite you to do that. I can't force you to do it. That's why I invite you to do it. God won't just break in into your heart and say, I'm taking over. You have to ask him to come in. It's the devil that breaks into your house. It's the thief that comes to kill and to destroy and to rob. God comes to give life and give it more abundantly and give you the good things in life and teach you how to live your life and so that you can prosper, really prosper, not just have money, but prosper and be blessed and be a blessing. Because you become connected with God. God Almighty. That's the most important step in anybody's life. Your eyes never open until you take that first step. Anybody at all this morning would like to pray? It's not a long prayer. It's a simple prayer. God doesn't make complicated things. He asked you to obey something simple, and then great things happen. Okay? Now, the other thing. We want to stir up the Holy Ghost this morning. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues, if you've never had that fire of God fill you up on the inside and just, man, I know God is real, 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 and I'm going to do something for God. He comes in for purposes. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost is not just to speak in tongues. That's one thing. But he opens your eyes even further. He starts giving you revelation in the Word of God. The fruit of the Spirit starts taking hold even greater in your life. He starts controlling your life. Being filled with the Spirit is turning control over to the Holy Spirit. And he starts controlling every aspect of your life because you want him to, because you know he's good, because you can trust him. He'll never do any evil to you. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of God becomes resident on the inside of you in such a way that you become a witness for God, because he starts changing everything about your life. It doesn't happen instantly. You get filled instantly, but he may start making all them big changes and gives you power. You can live without that, but it's a lot better to have it than not have it. And speaking in other tongues is just praying to God. And God understands, but you don't. Nobody else does, but God does. Those are all the benefits of getting filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then also, now I'm inviting you to come. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit in that fashion this morning, then you're invited to come up. And if you want to be refilled, if you want to be stirred up this morning by the Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you to come up here tonight, this morning too. And we'll lay hands on you. Sister Katrina and I, Pastor Rogers here, we'll lay hands on you and get you stirred up. With the power of God, you need to make an act of faith. You say, well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for a long time and I pray in tongues and I'm doing good. You know, if you're just living along, like everybody else is living along, and you're not having any influence on anybody, you're not all right. Yeah, but I'm okay. No, you're not okay. The natural Christian life is one of influence. Not because of your great thinking or your great learning or your great power or your great strength or your great attractiveness or your great looks or anything of that. That's all physical. Your life, Christian life, should be of one of influence because God is moving through you. And so I invite you this morning to get stirred up. And I invite you to come down here. And you can be refilled with the Holy Ghost, get that thing stirred up, and just get up here and get in the presence of God and start praying in tongues and just get filled and refilled and start fired up. Come on now. Don't just sit there. When you're invited to the presence of God and to meet with God, you're not meeting with me. I ain't going to do nothing. This is for God to do something in you. Just come on up here. Get right up here. You're coming up to meet with God this morning and for God to do something to stir you up and get you going. Hallelujah. All you have to do is have the will and Jesus, come on, let's do it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get filled here and I'm just going to get fired up. And you know what? You might stand here and you're not, oh, I don't feel much. Yeah, when you go on to the beach and you lay in the sun, you don't feel much either. Until about 2 hours later, when you can't even stand up, move around. So you just come up here and you, by faith, open your heart and let God move. And he's going to move. He's going to move.
Just want to say, if you just want a boldness to just be freer to witness when the Lord says, speak to that one, and you don't want that, you know how that fear tries to hold you back? If you want to be bolder, just come up here. We'll just lay hands on you, that you just be and aware of when the Lord speaks. Because a lot of us want to do what he wants, but we can't hear him. We feel we can't hear him. You just come up here too. And I would like Horacio and your wife, su esposa, que venga, por favor. And we're just going to lay hands on them too. And if you have also in this group, if you have you know you're called to the ministry, to specifically missions, foreign missions, come up here too. And just let the anointing fall on you. Let the presence of the Lord, because the presence of the Lord was here from the moment the first two people walked into that door. Whether it was, I don't know, it was Pastor Roger who came in, but the presence of the Lord came in. And came in with all of us.
Amen.
And so the presence of the Lord is here and wants to fill you up and to overflowing and just cover you and speak to you that you receive what you're needing or desiring from God in this morning, today.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Let's all raise our hand to the Lord right now. Father, we come to you right now. We believe in Jesus Christ. He is Son of God. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Many of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit before and spoken in tongues, Father. And we're up here just to get energized and refilled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Others, Father, that have come, maybe have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, right now. We believe we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And as the ministers come by and put their hand in my, I believe the power of God's going to come on me. The presence of God is going to come on me. And He's going to fill my heart and He's going to fill my being even right now. Even right now, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit coming on you. He is filling your heart. You can feel God moving on the inside of you. Just close your eyes. Put your attention on God. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing up here. God has come and He's been here. And you come here right here to meet with Him. And you move by faith. You could have met Him back in your chair too. But He decided, well, we made a call right here. This is where you meet Him today. You can meet Him somewhere else tomorrow. God is everywhere. But right now, He's right in you, He's right on you, and He's moving in you, and He's stirring that gift up, and that thing's happening on the inside of you, and all over the top of you. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, He's not just in you, He's on you. There's a power, a spiritual power that walks around you wherever you go. Where you go, God goes. When you come in contact with people, people sense the presence of God on you. That's why you're here. You know, if it was just you, you'd be like any other person. Where you went, you wouldn't influence anybody in a spiritual way like that. That's not what it's about. He's on you. Wherever you go, there's a spiritual presence. You see, and that's why people sometimes act nervous around you. That's why sometimes they don't want to get near you. Sometimes they don't want to talk to you. Because they sense that God is present. Sometimes they're convicted. They're convicted of sin, and they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to face up to that. But that's why you're there. You're a minister. You're a priest of God. The priest of God is one that is an intercessor between God and man. And you only as an intercessor until they meet God. Then they have their own relationship with God. You serve. Now, Father, we just believe right now as we lay hands on these that the presence of God is going to come on them in a greater way. And we thank you, Father, that they're going to be refilled with the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus.